All right. All right. So I know we said that we weren't going to do Sutton this week.
We came in with that energy. You cannot get enough from us today, all right? You cannot escape us today. Summer Game Fest, all right? Podcast The Save Point. Okay, we are here. We are here. And of course,
that is right.
Welcome to The Save Point. Ba da 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 ba da. You know what time it is. We are here. Welcome to episode 29 of The Save Point. With myself, SB, a.k.a. Soul Brandon, a.k.a. Brandon Life, and my co-host.
This is me. It's Navi. It's the one and only, the Don of Dodgeball, the Don.
There he
Pokemon
is.
Pokemon Don.
There he is.
No fraudulence here.
None.
We're here.
None at all. None at all, right? I'm on my second cup of coffee. I changed shirts just for this, okay? I changed shirts. I got a whole new fit just for this. Navi's put on a whole new tee just for this.
I had to. I was sweating.
Put on a whole new hat. I even put some beard oil. You can't even see, but we're shining. We're glistening.
I can see it.
Glistening over here.
Right. Too much.
We're glistening. And I'm just inside the house. We're not even doing much. We're small flex. Very minor flex. Okay? You feel me? Let's go. Can we get another fusion hot? Can I get another fusion hot?
We can do this correctly this time. Where are you?
Let me.
I am here.
Let me turn this off. There we go. Can I get another? Hold on. Let me position my fingers. Okay. I got to move this hand in a little bit. Move this one there.
Oh, I see.
You got to move yours forward. You got to move yours forward more. Yep. We're getting close.
Love it.
Fusion hot. All right. Uptown in the building. What's up? So, yo.
What's going on?
Big shouts to the usual hosts, John Clethamangu and Alyssa Rosa. Alyssa Rosa over here in the virtual building. They have blessed us with the opportunity to sit here and banter for a little bit on their podcast. Call it their podcast because we know that they're the two major bangers over there on that side of the world. You may have seen me come in occasionally, only on anime weekends or weekdays. I think Mr. Gaton has been featured a couple times. Actually, funny enough, he was one of the first people to even hold a panel at our last or first event, I should say, ever.
I'm not saying they came to me and said, "Hey, would you like to speak?" But I'm pretty sure I just definitely came to them and said, "Hey, I want to be in this. I know what Save Point's about." So yeah, it's great. But listen, you also had your anime panel too. You had a bunch of illustrious guests that were also alongside with you. You know, this is where I'm not calling it a meme, right? But we're calling it, you know, like. The solidity of Brandon's love for Gundams was showcased in that episode. We saw what was going on.
Look at it. Powerful. There it is.
Three words. Is it Gundam? We know. We had a lot of good conversation to Save Point. We've seen it. You know, it's always good to kind of like, you know, to be a part of this and to be able to. To not only co-host, you know, and stream this. We have plenty to talk about.
We just co-hosted something together, and that was, or co-streamed rather, the Summer Game Fest kickoff. Big shout out to Jeff for inviting the team once again to help co-stream that. And big shout out to Navis for joining me. I know it's been a busy day for both of us. And we were able to like stream it on our own channel. We had official graphics, all this other kinds of doodads and fun stuff, and I thought that was dope.
Wild.
And you know, I think there was what, like 30 plus publishers listed for like the month's events that are going to be going on.
Yeah, it hasn't officially kicked off. Obviously, as we know, summer has not officially started, and we already have a bunch of games that are coming down the pipeline later this year and early next year. Most of them are, you know, indie developers. They're about 30 plus publishers. They're listed as participants. Doesn't mean that what they're going to be showing is not going to show in E3, but this is just a taste of what's to come between now and June 15th. You know, it's going to be a bunch of games, a bunch of different hardware, software. Who knows? I know I'm excited. And I know we were just talking about that even prior to starting off this podcast.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
There are some games that we thought were great, right?
Yeah. I mean, what would you say? What would you say, like, one of, you know, your general faves was? I know mine, like, Blood Hunt looked kind of cool. Like, I immediately signed up for that. I don't know. I was just like, you know what,
wow.
Vampires.
Ah, you were.
And I was like, you know what, let me see what that alpha is about. Let's see if it's actually as good. But I know we had talked about that Dungeons & Dragons Dark Alliance game before, which is going to be fire, like Diablo-esque. 100%. And listen, on Game Pass.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's so refreshing to see Game Pass getting these games day one at launch. I mean, I knew I was going to play Dark Alliance, but it's so nice to be like, hey, I already know my squad. We already know the squad who's going to be playing with us day one. It's going to be a team stream. It has to be.
Yeah, for sure.
So I think the majority of the games that I do like that were shown in the Summer Game Fest were Game Pass day one kind of exclusives. Well, no, actually, the only exclusive was that the one that I thought I enjoyed. It felt like a Left 4 Dead remake, the Astronauticus. So essentially, it's the one where like they do the gravity, a bunch of zombies. Like, they felt like aliens. So they're in this kind of spaceship, and they're shooting. You're like, I'm not too. You weren't too.
Yeah, I wasn't.
You weren't too keen on the graphics. You weren't too keen on the graphics.
That was that like that Switch looking game, no?
It looked like a it was a Switch looking game. It was a Switch looking game. I thought it looked pretty sick. In my opinion, I think they. I know what they're kind of getting at. Obviously, Left 4 Dead. I think Left 4 Dead 2 has happened. You know. It's still a cult classic.
Oh, and Back 4 Blood is coming out soon, and that was looking utterly ridiculous.
Ah, that looks good too. But this is just a sidebar on this, and I was, you know, I think I also mentioned this when we were co-streaming. There's so many zombie games.
Yeah.
To me, I'm like, okay, we got too many zombie games going on.
A little bit.
Now. I had like three or four that were shown in the summer Game Fest. But they look good. One of them, for sure, I was like, okay, I can see myself play this.
What I can definitely see myself playing, which was actually the first one I think that really was a highlight for me, and I thought it was a totally different game, was Metal Slug Tactics.
Yo.
Like, what made them decide to even do that? Like, why would they do that? And that's so good. Being such a strong, like, adamant fan of Advance Wars and having not seen that game in so long, I immediately thought that was Advance Wars. Like, I didn't even see Metal Slug. I think it was Amari was in the chat with us, and he had mentioned Metal Slug. And I was like, no, it's Advance Wars. Like, in my mind, I totally wrote it off. Like, it's Advance Wars. I don't know what you're talking about. Why would Metal Slug do this? And they did it, and I want to play it. I want to play it immediately. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It's weird for me. Like, for some reason, I'm not big on all tactic games. Like, I don't really like Final Fantasy tactic games. Even though I was playing what was that recently on the Switch, Project Triangle. I was playing on the Switch, which was a tactic like game. But you know, I was always a fan of like Age of Empires. So like having my own little army always made sense for me. And to have something like, you know, now, you know, when Advanced Wars has come out, immediately I'd hopped on that. I was in Versus Heavy on there. And so I'm hoping, I don't know if they even said that they were going to have like a Versus or multiplayer in it. But if they, I really, really, really 100% hope they do. If they do, it's sold. It's sold for me.
Yeah, no, that was a great looking game. I mean, Advanced Wars, and I think we were mentioning this, and I definitely mentioned on the stream, Advanced Wars has not had a new game since the DS. You know, and like they were slacking. I know they've been like true spiritual successors. I think there's a full, like, it was like Full Metal. It was on the Switch. It came off of the PC Steam. And they kind of ported it to the Switch, and I think it's a good spiritual successor to it. But I think what Metal Slug has is like, it almost makes sense. It's like, wow, why didn't we see this sooner?
Yeah.
Why didn't anyone thought like, yo, like, you already have.
You already have all the assets. You have like everything you would need to do this. Just like, make it.
It just made sense. It made sense for them to do. So I like that one. That game is definitely top of my list. But I know we talked about Blood Hunt. I know we talked about... we're not going to talk about this one yet. But Tales of Arise. Tales of Arise.
A new Tales game. You know what's funny? Like, there was like multiple anime-styled games that we saw during the Summer Game Fest, and I did not get hype. But for some reason, when we started seeing the intro for this Tales game, I immediately was like, no, this is the one. This is the game.
Yeah, you knew.
This is what I want to play. Anime characters, hooded figure with cape. I was like, this is it. This is what I want. And lo and behold, Kakashi. It was a Tales game. Yeah, Kakashi's in it. Like it was everything. I was like, all right, bet. Nah, new Tales game, Tales of Arise. I mean, that's a definite. Funny enough, what is it? Tales of Vesperia, I think, is the one that's like free on Game Pass right now or something like that. I think it's like, I know it's something.
Yeah.
And I downloaded it and then I was like, it was like a little too throwback for me. So I was like, it becomes hard for me to like play something that's a little too dated. And it just moved too slow. So I was like, no, but I would really appreciate a new Tales game. And boom, here once again.
I agree with you on that. I was playing that Tales of Vesperia game and the Definitive Edition, right? Because they have the Definitive Edition. And it just was like, okay, the dialogue felt outdated. Like, things were just like, and it's like the walking felt weird.
Mm-hmm.
Which actually, we didn't talk about this. And I know we didn't put this in our to-do list and talk about list. But I picked up Shin Megami Tensei Nocturne. I definitely want to talk about that when we talk about the new games that are upcoming and like games that are like, we have so many games we're talking about like they're coming out this week. I'll leave that for later. But I get what you're saying about feeling outdated. So I'm glad that Tales of Arise is like a new thing that's coming. It almost gave me Genshin Impact vibes. Never played the game. I see you play it. I've seen Chanklet the Mangu play it. But this looks good. Like this, the animation's beautiful. Beautiful. I'm excited for that.
Yeah, definitely. At least on the anime side of stuff. And I think kind of touching on an anime styled game that I didn't like was Monster Hunter Stories 2. And I know it's a Switch game and I know there's a market for it, but I'm generally a MH hater, I'm not gonna lie. Like every time someone mentions MH, I'm like it's like pulling teeth for me. So
at least you know.
Yeah, I'm being honest about it. So it was underwhelming. Like, even if I were to put those two trailers back to back, like, Tales got me hyped. There was already more dialogue in the trailer. I already know I'm going to get a decent story because it's a Tales game. I already know, like, the combat system is going to be, pretty good. Whereas this Monster Hunter Stories 2 felt like more, like, it just seemed less prepared. It didn't seem like it was really up there. It didn't really seem like it was ready, per se. Like, I think they, like, just flash graphics with, like, bit of dialogue here, bit of dialogue there. It's like, yo, this looks super cutesy. It's Monster Hunter. Buy me. And I'm just like, why? Why would I? What was the most recent one? Rise, right? Recent one. Everyone was, yo, Rise. Can't wait for Rise to come out. I love Rise. I have not heard about Rise since. Okay.
Oh my.
All right. MH peeps, where are you? I haven't heard about Rise in God knows how long, but everyone was crying about, oh my God, I can't wait for this to come back. I can't wait for this to be here. This is so great. Come play with us. Look, I don't want to say it's DOA. I don't want to say it's dead on arrival.
No,
but
yeah, there's,
where's that community?
It was good. It was a good game. It was a good, and just to kind of like be the apologist, I'm not the apologist for everybody who plays Monster Hunter. I think it's a good game when you have players, when you have people around you to play. It's very much like, like one of our favorite games, at least for VJ's favorite, one of VJ's favorite games is Dauntless, like it's dope, pick up and play. We have a good time. It speaks to us. Right. And Monster Hunter there is a hardcore group of lovers out there for it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like, there's a dedicated fan base for Monster Hunter. It's like, you can't seem to deviate with this. People will always buy it. However, when it comes to stories, obviously it's more story driven. So, and it's obviously more cutesy. So like, they have like their, they have Monster Hunter for everybody. And I think they're trying to like branch that, that franchise into like, hey, this is for the newbies. And we have the Switch version who are just like, okay, you're kind of getting hardcore, but not really. And then you get to like the Xbox PC Monster Hunter world. We're like, we're going in on this, but you're right. Have we heard a lot from the community? I'm not going to say, but we can say it. We know.
I mean, it is what it is. It is what it is.
Not my top.
It's not.
It's not my top. I won't buy it. I won't,
I'm glad you understand that their community is there. I just don't know where they're at. Like, send a carrier pigeon. If y'all really like this game, let me know. Speak about, yo, what? You know what? Hold on. Because I want to talk about, like, it's so weird because, like, I don't want to say I felt like it was underwhelming overall, but I just felt like games were announced that, like, or either announced, world premiered, or, like, just generally talked about. And I was not excited, really, for any of it. You know what I mean? Like, and even things that were, like, I guess the presentation of it seemed hyped up. Like, I wasn't excited about it. So, like, one of them that I felt came off that way was, like, Salt and Sacrifice. Like, it gave off, like, really, yo, Salt and Sacrifice, we here, you know what I mean? Like, let me bring the homie out to talk about it. He's like, yo, you gotta understand, this is one of the greatest things ever. And I'm like, yo, it's out. I'm like,
all, here's like, the thing, and you're right. You're right about that, not to cut you off, but you're right about that, like, in terms of, like, overall. And it's the same thing we've seen a lot before as well. We've seen the Nintendo Showcase. What do we remember about the Nintendo Showcase? What was, like, the big thing that we saw in Nintendo Showcase? Knockout City. That was the only thing we saw. Everything else was like, eh. And Project Triangle, right? So we knew that kind of sucked. The PlayStation Showcase, that happened around April or so. We saw Return.
Big
and we're like, okay.
Big meh energy. Big meh energy.
Right. It's like all these showcases have been just really like, eh. Like, it was lackluster. We've been starting to see this more and more. They're like, listen, we got a bunch of games that we just want to, like, kind of give you a little bit of, like, a little sprinkle. But it's not anything, like, as crazy. Because there's not really anything there. Like, people were... I wasn't excited. There wasn't anything, like... And I came with low expectations. It's kind of hard. Because even... We always have to now go in with low expectations. Like, what are we honestly expecting? What do we honestly expect in the Summer Game Fest? This is very...
We are still coming 1 year, you know, out of, you know, pandemic. So I totally understand that. But it was just weird to build all this hype and then tell me it's a PlayStation 4 game. Like, that was the weirdest thing I've ever saw. Like, how are you going to sit here and say,
what is this?
Solid Sacrifice. We got all the homies here. We're riding out for this game. Coming soon on PS4. Get?
Right.
Como?
And the game was okay looking, too. The game was just like, ah.
It was, like, major meh. I was salty. That's the salt that they were talking about. How salty you're going to be when you see what we're actually talking about after all the hype we just built in this, like, 30-second conversation.
Speaking of 30-second conversation and underwhelming, Overwatch 2.
Old dubs.
Like, you could have just, all they could have just said was like, hey, we're working. I would have rather just said, this is like the kid who had the project, and they're like, hey, it's getting there. Here's like a photo.
Here's
like,
some pictures.
Like, it's like a screenshot.
And if you look close, if you look real hard at these pictures, you'll see that it looks a little cooler. You know, we've added some cool things in the fabric. And, you know. We're just gonna show you two people. Here's two people to look at.
And look at the difference.
Yeah,
I was like, it's the same picture. It's the same picture.
We've updated them.
But of course, and something to Jess's point, I think I'm just seeing the they're probably just saving this for, you know, Blizzard has their own, you know, BlizzCon. They have E3. Like, this is just, I felt like the marketing for Summer Game Fest was just like, hey, we're only going to show certain games on Summer Game Fest. Whereas I'm pretty sure that's not really the correct marketing approach. We're going to see these games and in a better demo later throughout this, throughout E3.
I mean, I hope so. I hope so. I mean, because I mean, otherwise I don't know how, you know, not that I don't know how excited I'm going to be, because there are some things that I was excited about, you know what I mean? And I think there's other things that people are still going to enjoy. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not a Warzone player, but, you know, new COD stuff coming out, that's fire. You know what I mean? There's things to be excited about. Elden Ring, which actually looked amazing. I didn't even know where that came from. I was like, what?
But listen, you like those games. You like those games. So I'm going to let you rock on that. Because it looked so much. It gave me so much Dark Soul vibes.
Hard body
Dark Soul vibes. But it was like with anime, with like huge flaming sword. And I was like, oh,
my
okay.
Energy. My energy.
It's that's your energy. George R. R. Martin is writing this. And I'm like, if he can complete this, then I know it's going to be good. You know? Not like, you know, we don't talk about it here. But no, I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
I think Elden Ring, you know, has strong potential, especially with having good writers behind it, has really strong potential to, you know, wind up being a great game. My concerns, however, you know, is just like how the gameplay is going to wind up translating, like, because it could be dark, you know, soul-esque, especially with From Software, you know, being involved. So it could really have that at its heart in terms of the elements of the gameplay. You know, so I just am always also concerned about the other half of people who just don't know how to handle games like that and don't want to, you know, and you know, wind up missing out on really good ones. Like, there's still a strong slew of people who, you know, did not play any of the Dark Souls games. There's people who did not play Sekiro at all, even though that was an amazing game. Just because of fear of having to, you know, run through it multiple times and die and die and die to wind up learning how to play the game. So, I mean, you know, but outside of that, I'm certainly going to enjoy it. Also, I can't talk. I still have not completed Dark Souls that came out recently either.
I was thinking about that. I was like, you know what? We forgot the progression series. I'm like, this is such a great progression series. It sucked.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I got bodied. I got bodied. 10 hours, 1%. Nope. See you later, alligator. Yeah, GG's.
It reminds me of my Nuzlocke runs, except it, you know, it's good to see someone else suffer, not just me. You know? But it was a good time on that.
I mean, what else from Game Fest where, you know, was it exciting at all for you?
We had, it was like the zombie game Back for Blood, similar to kind of Blood Hunt. And I think there is like they both have the pre-access. They have the pre-access. Again, like I said, so many zombie games, so many like, dark looking Dark Souls kind of game, so it's kind of like hard to see anything that's like, oh cool. There was that there's like the little Petit Prince I think there was an update. It was like an update for
Petit
something
Prince?
Else.
Yeah, that was cutesy.
Yeah, right. yeah, so that looked pretty cool, but again, I had to like, you know, play the original game of something like that. So like, I mean, there, like I said, there's just like small updates, small cool things like that.
Fast and Furious and Rocket League.
Yes! Oh my god, how did I forget about that? You know why? Because I suck at Rocket League. I used to be not awesome at that. But yeah, no, the Rocket League, just like Fortnite, we have to talk about this. I know we haven't really, again, this is, we have to just quickly be astounded. We have to acknowledge this. We have to acknowledge the fact that Fortnite went to a whole different level when they had the Marvel series. And I saw a lot of people come back, I think this was around season 10, where, you know, a lot of love from the Marvel side was given to like all these characters. You can unlock Thor, you know, Thor with the gun. That sounds cool, you know, or like building stuff. Now you're up to like Superman. You have Ryu. Like, we haven't even talked about like Ryu. I think it was last season. We have Rick and Morty. Like, at what point do games transcend or like mix with pop culture?
Well, I mean, like Fortnite, well, games have already mixed. So I think at that point, you know, it's like, what, where's its real standing then in pop culture at that point? You know, like, I think it was, you know, trailing behind for some time, you know, that's like, I think a lot of the items that have become popular now, just because you touched on Marvel, like comics were, you know, really low on the pop culture side, you know, in the early days too. You know, but now are in everyone's homes, you know what I mean? And I think that's similar with gaming. I think what Fortnite is doing in terms of its collabs, I think are really pushing the boundaries in terms of what it means to collaborate with a game. You know, if you're a different license or publisher, that has nothing to do with games, you know what I mean? That's not to say, like, obviously there's not like Marvel games and there's like a Rick and Morty VR game per se and things like that. But I think, you know, having something where you're able to include these characters into your universe really, really kind of changed the game, you know, for lack of better terms. Yeah. because now we have, like, think about Smash. Like, I don't want to say, like, Fortnite is one of the reasons that Smash is the way it is right now. But to a certain extent, you know, we could never imagine some of the characters that, you know, they have on this Smash roster. Like, these used to be, like, asks that we never thought we would get. Sephiroth, Cloud, Ryu also.
I guess so, yeah. And,
you know?
But it makes sense then. But it's not too far off to think of that. I mean, we think of it from like different IPs, right? We think of Nintendo IPs, Sony, Sega, that's fine. But when we're going from an IP from like a gaming to like, it's like having Iron Man in Smash.
Yeah.
Or go, you know, or the famous Goku in Smash. I think like it's weird. It's almost weird. But then I can't say that in the same breath and be as hyped to play Ryu or Chun-Li and Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. I think I'm just behind in the game and thinking like, wow, we really are doing so many crossovers. It's just wild. It's just wild to see all these crossovers happen like this. So it was just something that I realized, like, it's like, huh, Rocket League is doing the same thing. I mean, they also had DC. I think they had like the cars. So the cars kind of make sense, but nothing safe.
Fast and Furious.
I think it's gonna get crossed.
Fast and Furious. Shout out to Fast and Furious. I don't know if people are like huge fans of the Fast and Furious series. I used to hate on it a lot because I always thought it was nonsense. And now I like the series again since it too is now self-aware that it is nonsense.
But like, maybe let's just keep going with it. And you saw even with the trailer that they used, there was a car that did like a backflip on top of the like the airplane.
Oh yeah, off the airplane. Yeah, it backflipped off the top of the airplane. Ridiculous. I love it.
As if a car falling off a plane is not bad enough. I was like, this is y'all going in. But
all right, so I mean, shouts to Jeff for allowing us to co-stream that. You know, it's dope to participate in those things. Hopefully, we have more coming up. But we got a lineup of other shows that hopefully are going to be a little bit more exciting for us.
And, don't get your hopes up, you know.
Yeah, and this is true. This is true. We're already like, you know, already keeping my excitement levels at the bare minimum. Like, I'm almost as excited, or I would say I'm more excited to eat food than I am to watch another showcase. And that's on a regs. But, you know, we do have the Xbox and Bethesda game showcase coming out.
Yes.
And, you know, being a Bethesda fan in general before they got bought out, you know, that to me sounds wild. You know, and I think it was wild that they even, like, released all their whole game library practically on Game Pass, like, right after they had signed all the deals. But
they're like, hey, go for it. Enjoy.
But yeah, yo. And funny enough, I think they're one of like the top sponsors for E3 as well. So I'm sure we're gonna be sprinkling a whole lot of their, you know, IPs or at least studios that Xbox owns, you know, throughout the show everywhere. But I'm not gonna lie, I'm not a huge fan of all the Xbox IP. Like, I'm gonna just keep it real. Like, you know what I mean?
At this point, it's a lot. It's a lot.
It is a lot. So that's where like I'll separate that. Like, you know, obviously I'm a fan of Bethesda stuff, but like some of the things that I know that they're known for, like, I don't really look for anymore. Fable, for instance. Fable 1. I love Fable 2. Fable 3 was great, but I'm not interested in that story anymore. I'm not interested in that gameplay anymore. Like, I feel like it's kind of stuck in that universe, if that makes sense. And I think I've grown out of the Fable universe, so I'm not excited to hear anything about it. Forza, per se, I'm not a huge car game fan like that. You know, like, I was never a fan of Gran Turismo either. So cars, go cars, cool.
But I know Fable 3, it's so good. But Bethesda, this is what everyone's hoping for, and I think we just have to get this out of the way. Starfield. It's been talked about, it's been in plan, and the works for like God, you know, for God knows how long it's been. But this is Bethesda's first original RPG in 25 years. And it's set in space. I mean, almost it was about 3 years ago it was announced, right? And so you know, the studio was talking about internally. Now, once they got bought over, you know, with Xbox, now with Xbox Studios, it's like, we may find some information about Starfield at E3. Should we be hoping in the showcase that they're going to talk about Starfield? I don't know. It feels like pre-Breath of the Wild vibes. Almost like, we know the game is coming out. We know something's here. We know it's going to be cool. You know, because pre-hype, people are hyped about it, even within the studio itself. So I don't want to get hyped for something like this, because I love Bethesda's RPGs. I love them. Like, they know what they're doing.
That's a fact.
Amazing. So, assuming they're going to be showcasing that in E3, I think if they show Starfield, not that I'm saying like one game is going to make or break, you know, the showcase, but I think we're going to be in a decent place. I feel like I'd be happy. I'd also be happy for Fable 4 or or a remaster. I'm okay. I'm a fanboy.
Imagine they drop remaster. Starfield and be like Xbox exclusive.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
No, boom. No, that would drop a bomb. That would drop a bomb.
Honestly, Xbox Game Pass first day.
That's the last frontier freaking Bethesda needs to go. You know, we already have the fantasy, then we have the nuclear or you know what I mean? The Fallout series.
Apocalypse
situation. So the obvious next one is to go into space. And, you know, even though No Man's Sky, shouts to No Man's Sky team and that community, like they're very strong community. And the developers have been working on, you know, that game forever and continue to add more and more things that make it awesome. So shouts to that. But if Bethesda does a space RPG right, No Man's Sky is like a dub. Like the only reason it would be alive is because that community is so strong. But every other space thing is like dubbed at that point. Because that could be the start of a whole new line of games. You know what I mean? Starfield 1, Starfield 2, Starfield 3. So that, you know, that's definitely going to be a cool idea. However, one thing that I want to hear good news about, but I keep hearing concerning news about, is Halo Infinite. You know, last like real major thing we had heard was that they are, you know, changing the teams behind what's going on. And that's hella concerning, considering that that's supposed to be a major IP that not only, you know, Xbox is known for, but a lot of FPS people feel strongly about, you know. And I think Halo 5 was decent, you know what I mean? Hey, shouts to VV Hearts with the host.
Here's my take.
Go ahead.
Here's my take on this is, it's like, yeah, it's pretty bad, actually. There's just no way that one can kind of like explain the situation. It's almost like when you're swapping different production settings or different production company, it's like you have to start all over again. You have to kind of keep, you know, it's like, how do you expect crunch not to be a concern, especially if you have these are stakeholders involved. These are things that like us as gamers, we don't think of it, but from a logistics standpoint, you know, for a AAA title that we're expecting Halo Infinite to be, and we know it has to be, there are things that are concerning. It's a very concerning thing to have. There doesn't seem to be any news about a potential Halo Infinite to talk about in E3. I think they're probably going to get those questions, but I don't think they're definitely going to be, they probably don't even want that. I think that's why they need to showcase Starfield. I think that is why they need to at least have something. It's like, okay, Halo Infinite, we can kind of put this aside, but because we acquired Bethesda, we know it's going to be in space. It's close enough to Halo. It's definitely in space. We'll take it and we'll work with this and we'll run with this. They need to have an amazing lineup, because in the end of the day, and I saw this on Twitter, because we all love the Twitter fanboys, where Xbox versus PS5, and I see myself definitely siding with Xbox. But I saw recently, just like, as much as we get a lot of the games on Game Pass, a lot of them are older games. They're older games. Some have been remastered with 60 FPS. I mean, 120 FPS, whatever. That's great. Or sorry, what? Yeah, 120 hertz. That's great and fantastic, and I love it. I do love it. However, PlayStation 5 still has hits. Returnal still a hit. Ratchet and Clank is coming out tomorrow. Final Fantasy 7 retro, you know, like the PS5 edition is coming out with a new update for free now. I mean, you know, like the list is not big. Obviously, these games have really haven't had a full year in their cycle. But these are games I'd like to play.
Yeah,
I don't think it just is what it is. All the games that I can play here, I can also play in PlayStation 5. Why can't I not play Knockout City on my PC? You know, or you know, I'm just saying it's just like, even I have to be honest with myself on that.
Realistically, I'm not gonna lie to you. Like Ratchet and Clank is huge, and that's coming out tomorrow. And you know, once again, shouts to that team. Speaking about crunch, you know, the potential inevitable crunch with Halo Infinite. No, shouts to the Ratchet and Clank team being able to put out a great product. Like Metacritic ratings have been going, you know, pretty high for it thus far. And without no crunch, a lot of the team is reporting that they didn't feel like they need a crunch at all and anything like that. You know, so that sounds like an amazing situation. And so, you know, while that is good, like I'm not gonna lie, like I haven't really touched my PS5 in a bit. Like, you know what I mean?
And that's also true too, Right.
Like that's probably going to be the first reason for me to touch it. That and then Final Fantasy VII. I was waiting for this upgrade because they actually gave out the remake for free. I think on PlayStation Plus or something like that. A couple months ago, that was I think during the Game Awards. I think it was free.
Yeah, that's when they showed like, hey, like, be ready, get ready.
Yep. But I mean, you know, this Final Fantasy update, intergrade, remake, intergrade. I think that's going to now be the second reason for me to once again like play my PS5. And I've had it for what, like, 8 months now? 8 months now? Like, a lot of the games I was playing on it were just like greatest hits and things I would download. Like, sure, Astro, you know, was dope. Definitely rocked that. I'd obviously rocked Demon Souls for a bit. And then Spider-Man was great too. But, you know, it almost feels like a slow rollout where with Xbox One, you know, and this could be because, like, obviously I was a longstanding Xbox member, so I have most of my friends list there. I have more people to engage with there. But, like, any kind of multiplayer game that drops, we're able to just go and play. So, like, for instance, newer games, Outriders dropped, was on Game Pass day one. We all got on it, kept it going. Knockout City, boom, that was on Game Pass. Didn't even have to pay for it, just kept it rolling. And so it's made it easier, like, for me to at least use the system more. Now, while I do acknowledge that still had or has a lack of, like, newer IPs that I'm really enjoying, like, that doesn't take away that there were games for me to play. Like, Tetris Connected, I was, like, hooked on for quite some time, which was, like, you know, Series X upgraded. What else was another game that I was finessing on there for some time?
Yeah, Connected. There was also, I was playing Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
Ah.
But I didn't know there wasn't free, but it was still good. I mean, I think they had some of the Assassin's Creed that were out there. I was playing Sunset Overdrive. Sunset Overdrive was really good. That was cool. Also, I think, on Xbox Game Pass, yeah. But I think they're trying to get that to PS5. I think they're trying to, like, Sony's trying to buy it out. They're like, no, we don't want this to be an exclusive. Because I think the people who made it were the same people who made Miles Morales. So they're trying to, like, finagle their way into, like, kind of getting those rights back. And so they can kind of make a port for the PS5. That was very cool. I think, you know, it's funny how, like, it's going to be very much like a monopoly. Like, who's going to take over what? Who's going to have the best games? And they're probably going to do the same thing with indie games that really do a successful hit. We're going to see how the next few years kind of pan out. Because I think what Microsoft did now, they're like, okay, we're going to have to really start playing this game, which is why they bought so many people. Speaking of, we didn't speak about this. I'm not a huge fan of this series. I don't know too much about it. I do know people loved it for the N64. Perfect Dark. Perfect Dark was revealed in the Game Awards, which we co-streamed in December. And so there was a trailer. They did play a trailer. People were super excited for it. They were super hyped. Obviously, it was overshadowed by the inclusion of Sephiroth as the game.
Big fact.
The Game Awards started off like super strong. But Perfect Dark, we may get some information on Perfect Dark. Maybe potentially a, you know, a little bit of snippet of like what's to happen. Again, if we're not going to see anything with Halo Infinite, there has to be some heavy hitters. And I think agree. We're owed something for at least Perfect Dark.
Perfect Dark was a great IP. I mean, like, it was like the spiritual successor of GoldenEye back in the day. I'm dating myself now. And you know, I think that was hype, you know what I mean, to see. I just, you know, I need to see more gameplay. I need to see how it's going to turn out. You know what I mean? That's what really makes or breaks things, especially for shooters. Like when, you know, we brought up that game that we saw in the Game Fest earlier that, you know, looked like they were shooting with toy guns at that was like that zombie alien. I was like, what is this?
Yeah,
a Switch
zombie
game?
Aliens, yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? It didn't give me a feel for it. You know what I mean? And I think Perfect Dark definitely had like a feel. So I'm hoping that they're just able to bring that back, but definitely excited for it.
Listen, all you need is a demo. Everything, as long as we have a demo, a visual, will be will be fine.
It'll be good, right? Show me more. You know what they didn't need a demo of, but I know it will be great regardless? Far Cry 6. They had our man Giancarlo over here in the Game Fest. All no beard, no nothing. He's like, I'm not trying to look like a villain today. He's all smiles, just chopping it up. And I loved how he was chatting. He's like, my character, I mean, you know, he just wants the best for everyone. He wants to help you be great. Right, and then they show a clip of his character in a cell with someone chained and bound to a wall, hands and feet. Well, yeah, no, my character is not bad at all. Like, get out of here.
And like you said, it's just like, how can you tell it's a villain without saying it's a villain?
Right? Like, come on. Like,
hey, I got the best for everybody.
But I mean, Far Cry has like a formula down at this point. Like, I feel like you know what to expect. They're well done. You know what I mean? They're great shooters. They're great stories. So like, that's something that, like, I don't need the demo. Like, you know, sign me up. And you got Giancarlo here. Sign me the F up. And I know we're going to get more from Ubisoft, I think, after that. But what were you going to say?
Yes. We're going to get more from Ubisoft. And I was going to say, like, it just reminds me so much. Not that Far Cry is, like, Just Cause. I just wish Just Cause was better. That's just, like, me just thinking now. I'm like, oh, they seem very similar.
It's almost like the same game. It's not, but it is.
Yeah, no, yeah, but like similar, but not. But do you think, and just kind of thinking on this, do you think that they're going to push Halo back again?
Yeah, I see.
I have an idea.
See, listen, that chimed in on that. I would say I hope they push it back. I hope they push Halo back. You know what I mean? They've done a lot with the Master Chief Collection to kind of like buy time. And I hope maybe they just do more to that to kind of buy time, because they really can't afford to mess up Halo Infinite. Like, even though, like, and it's like the pro and con, and I mean that they can't afford it perception-wise. Not that it's going to stop, you know, the beast called Game Pass right now, and not that it's going to stop people from enjoying it. But from the perspective of, you know, especially some hardcore gamers who are the super fanboys, you know what I mean? Halo Infinite not being successful is really going to give a bad taste. It's going to leave a bad taste in people's mouth. And it's definitely going to give a bad perception on, you know, Xbox, the gaming company.
And that is a really, really good point. Because what we've seen with Cyberpunk, I don't think anyone's willing to take that risk. No one's willing to take that L. I mean, Cyberpunk, like, Project Red, who, they did the same thing. People were, you know, are quick to forget. They did the same thing when it came to The Witcher 3. The Witcher 2 as well. Like, they just kind of, like, sent it out and it was like borderline unplayable, but it wasn't because of the updates where it became then the game of the year edition and stuff. So like, we had to hold them accountable then this time, where we're like, hey, this was just not it at all. So yeah, I mean, they're quiet now.
Yeah, people were coming at Cyberpunk came out, and it was crazy, because, you know, it's funny, I remember the conversations leading up to it, and and everyone's like so hyped about it. And then I think it was actually in one of the episodes of The Save Point that I was featured in, and I think it brought it up. And I was just like, yo, like, you know, all we saw was just Keanu Reeves talking like, yo, I'm in the game. and like, yo, I'm going to be talking with your character, doing stuff with your character, and it's going to be cool. And then they showed us some cool stuff, and that was it. And everyone got hyped. And I was like sitting here just like, but like, what am I hyped for? I don't know what I'm hyped about. I don't even know what's going on. Keanu don't even know what's going on.
He's like, this is gonna be a lot of talking, some shit.
Right? Things are gonna happen, and your character are gonna do things together, but maybe not together. Maybe we're cool, maybe we're not cool.
We're not.
And I'm like, so what is it then?
So deep. It's
what
like,
are we
no,
talking
Keanu
about then?
People do this all the time. No, I fell for the meme too. I fell for the hype. I definitely fell for the
hype. Everyone fell for the hype.
You need a 3080 to play this at least minimum. You need to get all this.
You know what I mean?
Set this up. I played it with my 3080 and that thing still crashed on me.
Right?
Like every
buses were like flying in the air. Like all other kinds of crazy stuff.
I was being stuck on the ground. I couldn't even, I had to like replay the story. I was like, I don't got time for this, man. This is just like the worst.
Let's just say he showed up for work with no context.
So how do I do my job again?
Yeah, you know. He's like, no, listen, I got this. We're gonna talk our talk and keep it moving. That's us for this podcast today. We just showed up for work, no context. It's like,
yeah, we're like, what do we got?
What are we talking about again?
I think we'll figure it out.
No.
So far, I mean.
Yo, hey, right?
Been, you know,
right?
Been crushing it.
We used a past template that Alyssa uses, and then just copy pasted it. That's how we do the work.
Yeah, like
well, I was like, we're gonna make it look like this, and then it should work. And then we're gonna do it. Right? Stone Cold gonna come in, blow stuff up. Boom, we're here.
But before we move on to our next topic, I just want to know, like, is there anything you're hoping to see, like, maybe that we haven't talked about in the Xbox Bethesda showcase?
Xbox Bethesda? Nah, man. You know what I mean? Like, one push that I've seen recently, actually, a lot, is Elder Scrolls Online. And I forget how old that game was. That game is, like, 9 years old. Like,
yeah. It's very old.
And, you know, they're still pushing content for it. And so I'm like, wow. So is it? No, sorry, it's not nine. It's, like, it's 7 years old, about to turn eight. So, I'm still like, yo, that's old in MMOs. And I thought that's, like, you know, I thought it's interesting that they're still releasing updates. They also made it free on Game Pass 2, which I thought was interesting, just like they did with Fallout 76, I think it is, which is online, which I actually decided to dabble into, which had its own troubles at the beginning. And honestly, to me, just feels like a regular Fallout with other people there, which I've been enjoying. So I'm interested to see if they're going to do anything with those online games. That's what I would like to kind of see, if they're going to, like, announce something new with them, announce some potentially a cool collab with them. You know, having Bethesda on board, that means Doom Guy is now here. You know what I mean?
Doom
Guy is now here. So I want more Doom Guy and just things. You know, at this point, I feel like Xbox could do so many collabs within its own IPs. Like, I think they should. I'd really love to see them follow that collaboration model of just like, yo, let's bring more of our characters into more of our other IPs. Like, just make everything Smash. Just, like,
make everything Fortnite.
You know what I mean? Have them fight or have them just pull up and have extra characters, extra DLC. Like, I would love, yo, you could throw Doom Guy in Fallout, keep his armor there, boom, that's it. You can have Halo armor in Fallout now. You can have, like, these other kind of weird things that are really nice little cool add-ons that bring more attention to those type of games. So that's all I'd really like to see. More collabs between their own IPs.
I think that's something that Xbox, I think, is lacking a little bit. Like, they don't have anything like that. That's like, oh, I can tell that Xbox is moving between, you know, different studios and saying, hey, yeah, we're gonna need some Halo armor in this RPG and Fable, you know, everything. So you're right on that. I would be happy to see some Fable. I know we're gonna see Perfect Dark, but for sure, if there's some Fable, it'd be great. If we see Starfield, you already know that's what I kind of want to see. Yeah.
Fact.
We can talk about this. I mean, it's up to you if you want to talk about this. We can talk about. I mean, there's so much to talk about. Ubisoft has some good stuff, I think.
You know what's funny? I'm like, I throw Ubisoft like a lot of shade, like, internally. Like, but they have such good IPs.
First off, just want to let everybody know who's watching this in Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube, all of our platforms, streaming platforms. This man, when I was writing this down and said, hey, Ubisoft, I'm kind of excited. He was like, like, I can tell this is not where he wanted to speak about. Like, why would you even let me write this then?
You know what it is? Because you know, it's not like they don't have good IPs. You know what I mean? I think for me, it's always been that, like, Ubisoft just comes in, like, does the work. We have this IP, this IP, this IP. We're going to just do it again. And I think there's good and bad in that. You know what I mean? Like, for someone like me, I'll get bored eventually. So by, like, the third run, I don't want it anymore. You know what I mean? But for other people who want to continue following along things, like, that's super amazing. Like, for instance, I lost interest in Assassin's Creed after, I think, Assassin's Creed 3. Yet they've had, like, three or four others since then. You know what I mean? And people are still on it. Similarly with Far Cry. You know, and we can talk about the Rainbow Six situation with that. However, I understand that there's still hype around these IPs, obviously, because it's keeping that company afloat. And you know, I think that it's not like they're bad IPs. They're all great. So, you know, you got to give the credit when credit's due.
So yes and no, and then yes again, right? So you're right. I think when we grew up, I don't think Ubisoft was to where they were before. I think they did a lot of, like, third party publishing games. So they used to do, like, those video, like, those movie video games, right? So we talk about, like, the bad ones, you know, like the Rugrats movie, Spider-Man, like that. I think that we grew up thinking, like, oh, it's Ubisoft. And then they, I think they ended up buying the rights for Rayman. I forgot who had Rayman. somebody else had Rayman before. Then they had a really good version of that. And then obviously they got lucky with Assassin's Creed. Sort of like kind of, you know, and chronologically they're like, hey, we can kind of fall on our own 2 feet. I think they also helped with one of the Batman games too as well. If I could be wrong with that. And once they got also the Star Wars IP, that was big too. So like there's like a lot. Like, yeah, like there's like I feel like it's just always like that one, it's like that one cousin where you're just like you think you're cool, but like I don't really want to chill with you. Like you got some games, but I don't really want to chill with you. That's how I feel about Ubisoft. It's like that's a little cousin who's trying. You know, he's trying, but you're just like I sort of want to, you know.
Well, I mean, so I feel like they don't always come out with just a lot of a lot of projects outside of like their mainstays. You know what I mean? Like yeah. You have the Far Cry, you have the Assassin's Creed, you have this, and when they do, not all of them hit. You know what I mean? So like for instance, you know, they had come out with Brawlhalla. Brawlhalla was like cool for a little bit. I know people still play it here and there, but not super popular. Steep actually just came out free on Game Pass, and Steep is actually great, but I know in, you know, a couple years back I was not looking for that. Yeah, Steep is actually dope. It's just literally kicking it in the mountains and just like using whatever equipment you have to just like do stuff. So then they'll have like snowboard or skiing races. You can then like do flying squirrel dives like off to areas to like, you know, get points and stuff like that. And then you zoom out to look at the whole mountain and like choose another area to do a race or do a point system where you're, you know, trying to get most points out of this course or, you know, things like that. And it's cool because then your friends on the same list have like, you know, all the same stuff. But once again, I would have never gotten it for without Game Pass. So, meh. You know, some of the things that did hit obviously were The Division hit, Watch Dogs hit, for a bit, The Crew hit, and they also still own Just Dance. So they got a lot of, you know, decent IPs, but they've just never really been my, you know, my ones that I'm like normally getting into unless it's one free. Like Division, I hopped off of after like the first one. Yeah, Watch Dogs is also like meh. It was super hyped up. Watch Dogs wanted to be Cyberpunk, and Cyberpunk wanted to be itself.
Problem. Both of them had the problem.
And Just Dance is goaded. Go ahead.
But I mean, this is just one thing that I'm actually looking forward to, and I know that I don't know if I was speaking to Mondo about this. I'm not sure. I remember somebody I was talking to about this. You know, back in January, we learned that, you know, Ubisoft was working with Lucasfilm to develop a open world Star Wars game. So I think that is pretty cool to, you know, and they're not just kind of like, they're also partnering up with, I think, the producers and like the workers of Division 2 as well. I think the same company. Well, at least like the developers of the Division. So it's going to be pretty cool. It's going to be pretty cool what they have going on there. And I think some updates for, you know, Valhalla, which, you know, will be cool too as well. I have Uplay, just an FYI. I have Uplay.
Okay.
So Uplay
is that like Ubisoft EA Play or something like that?
Yeah, it's like, it's a subscription service. It's like $10 a month. But all the games drop day one. Uplay makes more sense for me than EA Play, because obviously now EA Play is already part of Game Pass, so there's like no point in me essentially paying for double if like all the games I'm playing is going to be over there, which includes like FIFA and stuff like that, and Knockout City. But the games are cool. The games are cool. Like Phoenix Rising with that Breath of the Wild, like not clone, but like it's pretty good. But it's just like they have so many good games, but I feel like they slated it at such a bad time because Valhalla came last winter. As well as Phoenix Rising. But there's so many games that are coming out. It's like, yo, it's hard like for them to go through the motions. But yeah, we kind of touched a little bit about, you know, Ubisoft Forward. And just an FYI for everybody, Ubisoft Forward is going to be on Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time. And the Xbox and Bethesda Game Showcase is going to go on from 1 o'clock to 2:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Sunday. I almost want to do a co-stream on that, or almost kind of like want to just.
We can do a quick watch.
Yeah, a quick watch on that. On these are the Xbox one. I think I've.
I think on that. Sunday they also have Square Enix too.
We gotta talk a little bit about Square Enix and those plans and what
Phoenix. I'm hoping that they're gonna talk more about, because I think they're working on Project Triangle, if I'm correct. So I'm hoping that they actually. Project Triangle Strategy. I knew there was another part of it. Yeah, they are working on that. So I'm hoping that they do talk about that. Mari said Final Fantasy 16.
Ooh. Ooh, something big that we didn't even talk about.
Ooh, ooh, ooh,
they're gonna talk about Outriders.
Outriders news.
They're gonna talk about Outriders
news. Outriders,
yep. Outriders.
Yo, if they bring multiplayer to Outriders, my body is ready. Okay.
Yep. We're gonna talk about that. The high intensity RPG you set in original dark and desperate sci-fi universe. They're gonna talk about that and some announcements on that.
Cool. And maybe some Final Fantasy 16 info. That would be great. So then, yeah, definitely gotta check that out. Alyssa says she's hoping for some Kingdom Hearts news, but next year is the 20th anniversary. Yeah. They're going to put, you know what they're going to do for the 20th anniversary? They're going to make a Apple Watch game based on how many steps you take. And once you take enough steps that add up to the amount of times Sora calls out Kairi's name throughout Kingdom Hearts, the series, then that's going to open up a phone app. All right. That's going to allow you to scan pictures of the guides from each video game. So you actually have to go through the rest of the Kingdom Hearts like storyline and buy all the games again to get the booklets, because there were secret images there that once you scan with the app after you do the Apple Watch like steps, then it's going to open up a trailer for you to watch about why Xehanort is is the Alpha and Omega. Why Sora was never the main character of Kingdom Hearts, and why it's been Xehanort the whole time.
Why these people?
I'm just being real. That's what Kingdom Hearts is. That is Kingdom Hearts in a nutshell, what I just gave you.
But just to bring it back to the Square.
Oh yeah, I definitely trailed off. I definitely trailed.
You went on this is the Brandon rant. The first of many. Though supposedly what is not going to be shown for Square Enix is going to be Final Fantasy 16. I think they're like, listen, we're not going to really focus on that. I feel like they're lying to us. I always feel like they're lying to us, no matter where.
I mean, they don't need to. They could just talk more Final Fantasy 7. You know what I mean? They could just even just showcase, yo, it's out, it's dropped. Actually, I think it drops next week. Integrate drops next week, if I'm correct. So you know, they could just say, hey, you know, here's more stuff from it before it drops. And then kind of go from there.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean,
that Project Triangle strategy, maybe it has a real name. Maybe they're just going to keep it that name. I don't know. Integrate came out today. Okay. I was wondering if it was today or tomorrow. Oh, then I don't know what they're going to show. Maybe they're, Project Triangle, maybe some Final Fantasy 14 stuff. You know, since that's still
maybe
going
Final
strong,
14 stuff, because they've definitely that's another game that's like that has years too. I think it's about like five or six years, yeah. So, like, I mean, who knows what that is, but I wouldn't be surprised if Project Triangle is going to be a Nintendo showcase event, which is happening Tuesday, June 15th, which is the last day of E3.
Yeah, I'm a little hyped for that. I'm just because like that was the only thing that was really exciting about. Outside of Knockout City. So I really want to show, I really want to see what else they are going to show. That's hopefully not like super trash. And you know, maybe we can watch along with that too. That would be great. I'm not excited for Capcom, but I'm hoping Capcom announces something. You know, there is rumors. Well, because I've heard. I wasn't a fan of Street Fighter V, so there's that. You know, however, they have been allowing their characters to step into all these other, you know, games, whether it's Power Rangers, whether it's Fortnite, whether it's Smash, whether it's all this other stuff. Alyssa said Village DLC. Yeah, I'm sure they are going to announce Village DLC, because Village was a hit. Throughout the gaming community. Amazing, amazing, amazing.
Wait,
game.
I'm so sorry. Like, this is like a big thing. Like, to regards to you, like, remember the huge data leak that Capcom received? Like, you know, like they, long story short, Capcom got a huge data leak, and I think they were supposed to pay somebody to get those information back. And Capcom was like, nah, you good.
Hold on.
So here's kind of like the list of like the biggest names that's going to be listed in the, you know, purported schedule.
I want to hear it.
So Resident Evil Outrage, which is going to be Q4 in 2021.
Outrage?
Dragon's Resident Evil Outrage, yeah. Street Fighter 6 is coming next year.
I was just about to say that's probably going to be the only thing that that I know they'll have to announce.
Yeah, and then Dragon's Dogma 2, which is coming for the second quarter of next year as well. So the only thing that's really kind of coming out like this year is going to be Resident Evil Outrage. But they weren't the only ones who were also hacked. EA was hacked as well today.
Wow. I mean, not like they have any good IP.
They have Knockout City.
Oh, okay. They got one good IP.
That was funny. Yeah. They were, their source code was stolen. Hackers breached Electronic Arts, stealing game source code and tools.
And Sims. They do have Sims too, so valid.
They have Sims, yeah.
Source code,
yeah.
All right. So, I'm waiting for those free versions then. Let me know when the free Sims is out. I will say, like, I am going to look forward to Street Fighter 6. Like, I do miss Street Fighter. Like, I have my, you know, I go in and out of Street Fighter. So, you know, 4 had oversaturated me with iterations of it. So that's why 5, I was kind of out the water on it. The reason why I was going to say I wasn't excited potentially for announcements outside of you just saying this was because of NetherRealm stating that they're going to be working on the next Marvel game.
No way!
Yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah.
And like a similar...
It's going to be a versus style because Capcom is known for versus style. So I don't think it's going to be like a Marvel versus Mortal Kombat. I don't think we're going to get Mortal Marvel. You know, I don't think we're going to get that. But I am excited just because it's going to be a different style type of Marvel game for sure. Because NetherRealm's games have been playing way differently than what Capcom games play like and what a lot of the Capcom versus games play like. So that I am actually excited to see what NetherRealm cooks up for a Marvel game.
And something else I'd like to talk about as well. I mean, that's huge. That's kind of huge news because to me, like NetherRealm and DC, like they were like they're kind of like butt buddies.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the best way to say it. They really started a lot of like those versus series with them. They kind of started until NetherRealm got their like act together with Mortal Kombat. I think 9. Yeah, I think Mortal Kombat 9 is what they're like. Oh,
yeah, 9 is what kind of like peaked, and then I think it went Injustice, 10, then next? 10, then, yep. And then Injustice 2, and now 11.
Then 11, yeah. So like we're honestly expecting an Injustice 3, which I've been waiting for. I love the Injustice series, huge DC fan. So like I like that because not you know, but I mean if they are NetherRealm is working on the Marvel game.
Speaking about Injustice real quick, they're coming out with an Injustice animated movie.
Yes!
Yeah, that's going to be fire. Yes! That's going to be fire.
Yes. Because the Snyderverse series, kind of like what Snyderverse was trying to do, was also very, like, very alluding much to, like, Injustice.
Yep.
And you saw a lot of that, you know, I mean, this is like the spoiler part, but we saw a lot of, like, what Injustice happened, because obviously with the death of Lois Lane and, like, Superman just wild out and then somehow got, like, you know, controlled. It's so good.
Yeah, so I mean, spoilers, but no spoilers, because it's old by now. But Injustice is really about the storyline of Joker deciding to kill Lois Lane and Superman freaking the hell out.
Yeah,
but... and then kills Joker, and then everything kind of sets off from there, and. You know, since you can't have a Superman that kills. Once Superman kills, we've lost all hope. Because then Batman doesn't like that. Batman doesn't like a Superman who kills. And so that's exciting. And now I didn't even think about that because technically NetherRealm Studios is bought out, I think, by WB, which is why that they have access to the DC content. Didn't even think about that. If NetherRealm was working on a Marvel, maybe we could get a versus game. We could get a Marvel versus DC game?
Where did you get... That is wild. That is wild to even think that.
Right?
NetherRealm Marvel game? Wow. That is like...
So, like since they've already been working on those IPs and are owned by DC, like, there's a strong potential to do a Marvel vs. DC game. And if NetherRealm decides to do that, because they're, like, right now, in terms of fighting games, it's actually one of my favorite, like... fighting game mechanics is the current system, the Mortal Kombat 11 system, the Injustice system.
I think
super balanced, super great. If they do that, that might be one of the best like fighting games.
I don't
games.
Think there's an Injustice 3. I think they're actually swapping to a Marvel ask. Oh, forget it. Then, looking at Gambit. I mean, just like Venom, it could be such a cool, like,
you can have a really good lineup, and they're known for, especially with the Injustice games, like known for really doing, like doing really good character lineups. Yeah, so like that could be really enticing. And, you know, speaking about fighting games, cause we've been talking about the future, like, yo, games are coming out ahorita. And one of them was Guilty Gear Strive.
Getting it.
I don't know. The strong answer is I'm flip-flopping on it because I can only really manage one fighting game at a time. You know what I mean? Like Mortal Kombat is a fave, you know, but I do it is on the scope that NetherRealm is also going to announce Mortal Kombat 12, which means 11 is kind of dropping out. It looks like they're only going to give us like one more patch or something like that too, and then that's kind of going to be it for the rest of the game's life. So, you know, I am kind of teeter-tottering if it makes sense to continue playing it, you know, at any type of level. And if we should move over. And it always makes sense to move over to the latest and greatest, which is Guilty Gear. I've never really played a Guilty Gear. I have played some of Arc System's games before, which includes, you know, Blaze Blue, which was super great. Arc Systems, I think, also designed the stuff for Dragon Ball Fighters, which is another great game, and Damien is still rocking that heavy. I have heard, though, that Strive doesn't play like those old Guilty Gears. They play more like a Street Fighter type S game, more where, you know, footsies, more like, you know, hey, let me get a ticket, let me do this, let me do that. So I'm teeter-tottering on it. But, you know, if I get it...
That's it. Yeah, of course. That's not like, listen, I'm... Learning my place in the circle of life, at least when it comes to fighting games, I'm okay. You know, I know I'm just okay. LD. That game looks good. I'm always down to play like a new fighting game. I was really hoping to kind of like solidify like a game that like I feel like a good community. And I think a fighting game is only as good as their community. You know, Tekken's good. You know, Tekken's really good. And I love Tekken, but it's like, it's not going to be like the same. It's going to be the same people, and they're going to be a higher, like, there's no. It's going to be a harder learning curve for that. But I think here, it's like, okay, people are going to be here first weekend. You're going to have a good time, at least for the very least. Like, hey, let's see what's up. The $60 price tag, it might be a little steep. I'm not a big fan of Guilty Gear. It's like I played a few of the Guilty Gear games, but I'm more of a Blaze Blue kind of guy. You know, that anime fighters, you know, like with those infinite chain combos. That's kind of like what Guilty Gear was about. But the same developer who made Dragon Ball FighterZ, which I'm very shocked that you weren't even considering, like, you know, maybe I'll look into this. Arxist.
Yeah, I mean, I used to play. Yeah, I just don't play it as much anymore. You know what I mean? Like, I've like at the time I stopped playing it, the fights became very monotonous almost. Like, and that's how those anime fighters kind of get. You know what I mean? Like, when you're, it's like, all right, like, who's gonna touch who first so that I can blow you up. Strive's not really like that, so that's why I'm like, all right, maybe I'll consider it. I'm still on the fence.
I'm definitely gonna get it. It comes out tomorrow, at least from the time that this podcast is gonna be uploaded.
Yeah, I think it'll
June 11th.
Yep. For like computer, it'll drop. I think it dropped for systems already, but I think computers
it did.
Like, yeah,
if it dropped out for systems, I might just.
Or maybe I'm wrong. I don't know, but I know I'm still sitting on it, and maybe we'll wait till more fighting game news before I really dig my teeth into it. Something I did immediately cop because it was free $3.99, and is an old favorite and a new favorite. Phantasy Star Online 2 New Genesis update just dropped. And you know, I'm like, it's so weird because like I for some reason, like, I used to be a really huge MMO head. Like when I remember like in the gaming world, growing up in the gaming world, when an MMO first dropped, like, I was like shocked, appalled, and amazed. I'm like, oh snap, now this is like everything I ever wanted. You could play with other people and have a good time. I was never a big fan of like RuneScape or World of Warcraft, but like when Final Fantasy 11 dropped, you know, I was playing that like on 56K on my compact Presario, like with the lowest graphic settings, all right? Can barely tell what my character looked like, let alone what the monsters I was fighting looked like. And I was dumb hyped. All right, I remember spending like 3 days with like random people, not even a guild, like going on and trying to get my subclass quest and doing all that type of stuff. And you know, that was like one of my first things. And eventually that led me to actually playing PSO 2, Phantasy Star Online 2, on, if I'm correct, the GameCube. So originally it came out, I think, on Dreamcast and then moved over to the GameCube. JL Doom with Guilty Gear, Final Fantasy 11 is the GOAT. Yes. But yeah, so that led me to Phantasy Star Online 2 on the GameCube, which was like one of the first MMOs that you could play on the GameCube. And it was hella fun. It was like, you know, very like straightforward. You start like in a main, you know, area where you can like shop, talk to other people and stuff. And then you go to like instanced areas to handle your quests. And you know, that was actually cool. I was actually telling this story to F and Jess, how like I that was like the first game I became a scammer in. Only because I was a scammer. I was a scammer because I got scammed. All right. I was telling her like when I first started the game, you know, I was in the main lobby and someone's like, "Hey, I can duplicate items." And I'm like, "How can you duplicate items? That'll make no sense." He's like, "No, look, give me any item and I'll duplicate it." I gave him like the best item I had. It was like some rare, like a green item. He threw out like a billion of these and I'm like, "Oh snap, you can like duplicate anything." So then what I do, I gave him like my purples and like my legendaries. I'm like, "Here, thanks." And then he disappeared. And I never did be seen or heard of again. And that's when I learned my first lessons that I thought I learned in the AOL chat rooms, but clearly had not learned. Don't trust anybody online, all right? Don't be out here trusting nobody. So eventually, what I do, well, I just grinded it out. Eventually, I became a high-level player, and I realized something. When I then saw several of those same items that I thought were, like, really big to me at the time, like, I had hundreds of almost, you know, 10s, 20s, 30s, to a point where I could just leave them flooded in the library. And you could also share your inventory with new characters. So I was like, you know what?
Wow.
I got scammed. It's time to pay the piper. So what I do, I create a new character, moved all those duplicate items to this character, and then, you know, I got in the lobby and I'm sitting there just typing, "Hey, I can dupe items. Hey, I can dupe items. Hey, I can do—" "No, you can't." And I just start dropping items. "Here you go. Take it. I don't need these." Dropping tens or 20s of items. "Look, go back to my bank." Dropping mad more items. "I can dupe anything you want." "Yeah, you can. Yeah, I can." Then what do? They drop all their good items. I'm like, "Okay." I take them all. Take them. I'm like, "Hold on. All right. 5 more seconds. How many do you want? You want this many of this item? Okay. I'm like, "All right, here you go." And then log off. and then what's great is I would then come back as my main. And then I would find these people in the lobby and they'll be sitting there like, "Damn, you know, this person, you know, troll Viking 101 just got me for my items." I'm like, "Oh, that sucks." I'm like, "Well, you know, I have some extra items in my stuff and it'll just be more duplicates of stuff I have." I'm like, "Here, well, here's some of these, you know what I mean? And, you know, I hope you get by. I hope you do well."
You are a scamtissimo.
Right? To let y'all know, I don't do that now. Okay. I'm not scamming anymore. I'm not an MMO scammer, but that was my first experience with PSO2. PSO2, when I came back, I didn't even realize it's been out on the Xbox for quite some time. But it kind of was super similar. You have your main, you know, lobby area, then you have instanced areas that you go to complete your quests. And what I'm seeing now, New Genesis, it's kind of like reworked that system into a more livable real world like experience, to where, you know, it doesn't feel like I'm going into an instant scenario. Like I can see a gate that I'm walking towards and then I run right through it. And then now I'm in that stage or that area. You know what I mean? I could see people walking with me from the main lobby and us like going out into the fighting area. And then now like that actually seems dope. It did also kind of redo the stuff. So like I had a level like 60 character at that time. You start back at level 1. It has a new story, has a new, you know, new things to go through, new weapons to get. It also changed up the class systems. So like now there's like, you know, like 6 different classes that you then have skill points on that you can then drop your skill points into, and then also use skills from your other classes on, you know, whatever your main class is. So I think they really like, you know, branched out into like a skill tree system, into a more integrated real world experience, and, you know, made character creation a little bit more cutesy for everyone. So Seems dope thus far. I've just been kind of rocking it. I always need at least one MMO I'm actively engaging with. You know, another like MMOS type of thing that I'm still involved in is Genshin, but I go like in and out of Genshin because the gacha system like turns me off here and there. It's like every time I get a cool strong character, it's like, well, we just dropped cooler, stronger characters. And I'm like, come on, bro.
They want your money. They want all our money. And that's the truth of it. That's why I try hard not to play mobile games, but then one day led to another, and now I'm in like a guild. I'm in a guild, and I was like, oh my god.
Once you join a guild for a mobile game, I've done that a couple times too. Like that was a part of like Marvel Champions guilds and all kinds of stuff. I'm like, what am I doing? Why am I doing? And like people pressing me on my phone, bro, talking about, yo, you need to get on. Like, don't be sitting here. Don't be telling me about what I'm doing with my phone. Get off my phone, bro. Blocked, deleted. Get me out of this guild. I'm not. What the hell am I doing with my life?
That's how you know.
But shout out to people that are like you know, that's big cred to the mobile gaming sector. Like, who would have thought that you would have guilds for mobile games? So, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Guilds, alliances, whatever you call them.
I'm not gonna lie. No, you're doing. I am going to buy Ratchet and Clank. I'm not a fan of the Ratchet and Clank series. I've maybe played one of them. Maybe. I couldn't even tell you which Ratchet and Clank it was. But I'm going to buy it mostly just because I need more and want more PS5 games. I have none. I do not have enough. I would like more. And it makes sense to have Ratchet and Clank. Just like I'm definitely going to get that Final Fantasy VII update this Friday. And then, or excuse me, the update that just dropped. And then play that. But go ahead.
But it's hard, right? Because it's like, this is the first time in my life where I'm like, okay, I got to be smart with what I'm doing with my money. Because a lot of things are happening outside of like, you know, my normal day to day that I have to be like, all right, if I had a choice, to have a Guilty Gear or Ratchet and Clank, but I can only play this for this weekend. I don't know what I'm going to get. I'll probably just play Knockout City. But
we'll just play Knockout City the whole time. Get neither.
I'll probably play Knockout City the whole time, you know? But no, I do want to play Guilty Gear Strive, but like my only issue with that is just that like I know who I am as a person. I'll probably play it for like an hour, but then it's just like, damn, I want to master it. But for me to master it, I have to play ranked.
You gotta play ranked.
I get bodied. I don't want to get bodied.
I gotta play. The only way.
Gotta practice, you know.
Yeah, you gotta take those L's to catch dubs. You know what I mean? That's how it works in the fighting game community.
Then you gotta go to the lab. It felt easier with dodgeball. Dodgeball, I'm like, all right, cool. It's, you know,
catch the ball, throw the ball.
Ball, that's it.
Pass the ball. Duck, dip, dodge. No, dodge, dup. Dip, dive, and dodge. There we go.
Yeah, I remember that. I dodged twice. Yeah, so no, I mean, it's either that or Ratchet and Clank, but I think I might, depending on the stream that I will be having shortly, I will see what I want to do.
Valid. And then I think also on that list is the Ninja Gaiden MC Master Collection.
Here is a Ninja Gaiden or Gaiden. I don't know how people.
Those games are hard as hell, too.
Yeah.
I did myself the honor of playing through I think 3 when it had like re-released on like Xbox 360 or something like that, and that was like the only one I ever played, and that game was hard as hell, but I enjoyed it. Am I going to play those again? Meh. You know what I mean? I'm not big on playing old games again. Like it's old, let it die. Give me other games. Like, you know what I mean? Like, for instance, Mass Effect had come out. I had ran through that series. Like, I mean, I had, like, 100-hour games on each of those games. You release a Master Collection? No, I don't want to waste another 300 hours of my life doing this again. I just did it. And I know me. It's not like I'm going to make a different choice. I will make the same choices. I will, for sure. Like, I don't, like, that's just going to be it. So I'm not going to run it with it. So those are dubs for me as well.
I mean, at least you're honest with yourself. You kind of know, like, I'm not going to...
It's a dub.
Do me on that. Yeah, I don't... I think those are kind of, like, the ones that we're looking at for, like, this, you know, for the big game week. But, like, what are you most excited to play this weekend? I know we talked about Ratchet & Clank. Is that going to be your final answer, my good?
You know what? I'm just really hoping Ratchet & Clank, like, gives me the reason to like say like, oh, I'm glad I bought this. You know what I mean? I haven't really had a good platformer in a while. I feel like last platformer I really bought was the Super Mario Super Mario Collection that dropped a while ago.
The one that was like, was, you know, Yeah, limited, but not really.
Yeah. So that was like the last real platformer that I played, and I know that like Ratchet and Clank like is platformer-esque. You know, so I'm just hoping it's gonna be good. Like I said, I don't know. I need like a story catch up and see what's up. But I'm just hoping it as good as it's looking.
Actually, fun fact: the PlayStation Plus has I think it has one of the Ratchet and Clanks for free. So I mean, if you want to just play that and see if you like it.
Nope.
Or, okay.
Not playing those old games.
All right. I'm trying to say.
I wanna know what's here now. Rifts Apart. Okay.
No, actually, I think all the Ratchet and Clank games have like a very weird innuendo. Like my favorite one is Up Your Arsenal. I think that one is funny.
Ooh.
Yeah, but they're good games. You never played Jack and Daxter?
I did play Jack and Daxter.
You like that, right? Did you like that?
Yeah, I mean it was cool. Like I did like the storyline. Like the story was dope.
Okay.
It's like, you know what it is? It's just like this. I know this is like the fifth Ratchet and Clank or something like that, fourth or fifth Ratchet and Clank. So it's like.
Yeah,
coming in as a new person to the series, it's kind of like, oh, like I feel like, especially me, I feel like, oh, I need to know the lore, I need to know this. So it's like, you know, it becomes a task for me.
It is a task. That's why I mean, that's a long-standing game. So I get that from your perspective, but it's gonna be a good game. If you just play it for the sake of playing it for the gameplay, I'm sure you'll love it.
I think biggest game this weekend though is definitely gonna be Knockout City. Let's go, Team 7. Shouts
we already
us.
Know.
All right, we just reached platinum, about to reach sapphire. Okay,
yeah, we are about to reach sapphire.
That's what we're about to do, and we can rant about that all day. But I think outside of that, I don't really have any closing remarks. I don't know if you want to close off with some thoughts, ideas.
The only closing remarks that I have is that let's make sure to have low expectations, but be excited too at the same time. I think. We have to understand that we are just coming out of a pandemic. So the games that we are kind of excited for, we just have to kind of be, you know, patient with. And I think we often forget that. Like, there are also humans behind these great games that we love. So think about that when we're going to be watching E3.
Yeah, I think big same on that. You know, let's not look too hard to find things that are wrong. Let's look a little harder at things that we like.
That's right.
All righties, man. I guess... With that, shouts to Chancleta Mangu and Alyssa Rosa for allowing us to host and chat on episode 29 of The Save Point. And with that, this is myself, Brandon Life, and
Navis
signing off.
Nos vemos.
And then audio cuts out, and the crowd goes wild. And the audio part of the save point is done.
That's amazing.
Yes, no, I did not finish Persona. I just got bored with Persona. I was tired of all the perverts and crazy people that I gotta keep going off.
Yeah. You have to OD on like the most sickest people. It's like, damn, this guy really wants his girl's panties. It's wild. Can we say that? Are we good? We're cut off on the mic, right? We can't say.
No. We're on the mic.
Okay. I was here like, wait, I don't want Mondo to be like, why would you say that? This is not fair. That's not the right thing to say. I'm gonna marker that. I'm definitely gonna marker that.
That's my hobby. I got you right now.
Oh.
Oh man. No, but this was fun. Shouts to Ivan making this list. Because it was great to have some talking points to go off of.
We had a lot of talking points. I mean, like, we've talked for almost 2 hours now, right?
Nope. It's only been like an hour and 15 minutes.
Really? You bugging. Yeah, I feel like I've been talking the entire game with you.
Oh, well, that's because we did fucking Game Fest earlier. So it's just like fucking sick of talking to you at this point.
Yeah, now I got to talk to other people for like the next 2-3 hours.
Right?
Oh my God. Guys, I have no idea. Like, I'm going to post like a video of me dancing, I think, in about like 15 minutes. I think it's supposed to be scheduled, but I didn't schedule it. But I have it.
It be like that. What are you playing?
Good question. I don't.
I mean, we can assemble.
We could. But the problem is my I have issues with Knockout City. I really have issues with Knockout City. For some reason, the bitrate is really bad. But then again, to be fair, on Tuesday, I was kind of, you know, I was, we were not.
What are you playing it through?
I'm playing it through my Xbox. So my Xbox should be.
Yeah, so why is it bad?
I don't know. That's a good question. effing Jess says, Ivan, go get a drink. I should do that.
So yeah, it was kind of
I have
same.
Some pretty cool things down the pipeline, Pokemon related. But I probably will just play Knockout City because I feel like we are. I don't know. Are we ready to play ranked today? Like, are we ready to like?
Really I mean, play? We can do what we did yesterday. You know what I mean? Play a couple. Start slow, then ramp up for dubs.
Okay. Because we were. Okay. Listen, if we have the time, if you're mentally ready, we can do it. And if not, that's like fine too.
Yeah. I mean, let's take a small break.
No, Jess is ready.
We've been going back to back.
Yeah, I had to like
to back.
I had to work to do. I'm like, yo, we are. Both of us have been exhausted.
Yeah. You guys don't understand. We literally started streaming the Game Fest while... Hold on, let me turn on some music. But we literally started the Game Fest while we're in a whole nother meeting. Talking about databases and stuff. And then have the freaking Game Fest on over here trying to listen to this and chat at the same time. So the hustle's been strong today.
Yeah. I need the weekend and I need an extra day off. But I think that's what's going to give me... I still feel like I haven't recovered at all. Like, it's like every week I'm doing something. I'm trying to not do anything this weekend.
I like that energy.
Big mood. Like, please. If you're not trying to play Knockout City, I don't want to talk.
All right, so maybe what time you wanna start up? You wanna aim for 8? You want small break?
Small break, we could do 8:30. I'm gonna post up the stuff right now and let people know what we're doing.
Bet. Alrighty. So, thank y'all for joining us. Yeah. Thank y'all for chopping it up with us. With that, I think we are. Let me see. Since there's a little bit of time before we get on our next one, let me see if there is someone fried.
I see. Oh, I can't even tell you.
This is my home.
Okay, I was gonna raid them, but I don't know who's on there now, so we're not gonna raid them. See, we were doing a man playing some stuff, so I'm gonna go raid the homie for now. See if I can spell this right.
Oh, we can.
He's playing some Halo, talking about Halo.
Oh, Halo. Did you see the GIF?
I haven't looked yet, but got you. Oops. I just realized I covered your face.
I love it.
Oh, alrighty, y'all. It's been Realidad. Check in soon. Catch Navi's the mainstream later tonight. You'll probably hear me on voice, Jess on voice, as we go back into the gulag of dodgeball.